Spirit of creation, wonder and surprise, journey and discovery, calling us onward and outward with the awareness of your presence, guiding us with the illumination of beauty, curiosity, wonder, and love, to look out beyond ourselves, to step over the threshold. Help us to be the creators and the artists of our own lives. Help us to become a part of the sacred stories of others. Help us to be present at their birthing places, offering the gifts that we bear to life and giving witness to the holy with our own presence there. We give thanks for the warmth of community, for the gift of friendship, the moments of discovery among us, the moments when we encounter our own woundedness and healing in the eyes of another. Help continue to open our ears and our hearts across the great divides, and help us to always find another way across, over, under, and around. And grant us a continued awareness of your presence, gentle spirit, breath of life that moves across the surface through barriers and boundaries, illuminating the way beyond our horizons, spirit that moves in us, around us, and through us. In your many holy names we pray. Amen. Amen. Unsettled. It's a phrase often used by weather forecasters to indicate a condition that is highly unpredictable and potentially volatile. It may rain. The weather could be severe, potentially uncomfortable, messy, rapidly changing, unpredictable. Something is going to happen. Maybe. Probably. For a summer sermon series this year, I wanted to explore for a few Sundays at least the concept of unsettled, and to do so through the lens of some of the Bible stories and passages that speak to us of unsettled times. My wish to do so comes from the feeling that so much around us now seems and feels unsettled, unpredictable, uncertain. Our earth, environment, weather, events, our world, our nation, our people, even ourselves. Any patterns of the past that we're familiar with no longer seem to apply. But I hope that by looking at some of our big stories, it can help to provide us with some strength and encouragement, and perhaps even an opportunity to gain a better awareness of ourselves, as well as an unexpected path to potential healing. Now, the first Sunday we reflected on the unsettled as revealing places that may be in need of healing, places that draw our attention and call us to them, like the wounded soul to the pools of Bethesda. God's going to trouble the waters, and we are invited to step right into the trouble. To step into the trouble, to find our healing. Call to the very places where we may not want to go, where we may be afraid to go. Places where racism is revealed, xenophobia is present, hatred surfaces, homophobia, transphobia. Our own sensitivity to being offended at perceived slights. Places that we need to wade into in order to find our healing. As individuals and as a nation. Now, last Sunday, we talked about the unsettling voice that comes from within, the accuser that comes at us most often when we are exhausted, when we're empty, when we're lost, wandering the wilderness, the voice that tells us that we aren't good enough, that we eat too much, we're not doing enough, no one likes us, people laugh at us, that accusing voice that smites us and indicts us, revealing both our temptations and our weaknesses, just as Jesus in the wilderness. And just as Jesus, we hear that accusing voice, but we do not listen to it. We confront the unsettling voice, for it is in the wilderness that we encounter our weaknesses and also discover our strength. This Sunday, I wanted to reflect on the potential for creation in the midst of the unsettled, in the place of chaos, in the place of seeming emptiness, nothingness. In short, You want to make something of it? Creation. In the beginning, something happened. There's a line in a song by the Talking Heads. Heaven is a place where nothing ever happens. Well, in the beginning, something happened. We still don't know exactly what. The best mind science has to offer still brood over this question. There are theories, of course, but those theories often depend upon certain basic assumptions, underpinnings, beliefs, for lack of a better word, faith, if you will. The fact is, we know about as much about it as we know about gravity. Basically, it's here and that it works and that it behaves in certain ways, usually. Now, the creation story we are offered in Genesis is rich in imagery. It sings in the imagination. It's also complicated. The Hebrew word used for God in the first line is Elohim. It is, in fact, a plural form based on the word El, a Hebrew word used to refer to God, such as Beth-El, means house of God, Bethel. Or El Shaddai, literally, large-breasted God, God of the mountains, God of abundance. El Shaddai was the name revealed to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. To Moses, El Shaddai revealed their name as Yahweh. Eyah, Asher, Eyah. I am that I am. And these many names for God are things that we so sadly lose in translation. Yahweh, I am that I am. The beautiful and multidimensional phrase that bears with it no gender at all is typically translated into English as the very one-dimensional and highly masculine Lord. Yahweh, Lord. I am that I am, Lord. I think we really get shortchanged with that one. And El Shaddai, God of the mountains, God of abundance. It's translated into English as God Almighty. Again, something that speaks of loving abundance gets translated into a power phrase, God Almighty. I think we lose the depth and the beauty and the very mystery of the divine in our many translations. So here we have Elohim, a name of God unique to Hebraic thought. It is the plural of El, which is the standard singular word for God in Aramaic. Elohim, it's a fuzzy kind of word. Is it plural in the sense of power? Like royal, the royal we, the papal we, to designate majesty, bigness, one representing or over many? Or is it some other kind of plurality or something more complicated beyond our understanding? We just don't know. But what I do know is that beautiful, complicated, plural word Elohim is typically translated into English as God. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And then we have the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God brooding, ruminating, unsettled. The Spirit of God, the wind of God, the breath of God. This is the Ruach HaKodesh, the holy breath, the breath of God. Sometimes translated as Holy Spirit. It appears three times in the Hebrew Bible. And it is my belief that when Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit, he was riffing. He was speaking back to the Hebrew Bible, as he so often did. And Christians who completely overlook the Jewishness of Jesus are largely unaware of. I believe what Jesus left us with the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, was indeed the reminder that we have the spirit of creation within us. The spirit of creation within us. So here in the beginning, we have Ruach HaKodesh, brooding and troubled. Divinity overseeing chaos and emptiness. Creating, about to make something of it. These moments in life that seem chaotic and unsettled to us, they are new, they are different, and they are life. They are something happening. They are opportunities. They are moments into which we can invite illumination. Like the gentleman that I mentioned last week. Tell who was here last week. Sean, the one that I sat down with and had a nice conversation with about homosexuality, or really actually not so much of a conversation as I just listened to him. The one whose voice sounded like so many that I hear these days, like unsettling voices that I haven't heard in years. Now, we parted in an awkward and slightly tense manner, with him saying that he is just glad that he knows that what he believes is right. And let me just say right here and right now that the absolute certainty of righteousness is the attraction, the temptation, and the danger of righteousness. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
If you only want to know what you know, that's a problem. You won't grow. You may not even be alive in soul and in spirit. Anyway, when I learned that he was going on vacation to Myrtle Beach, I asked of him what I often ask of people who travel. And if you know me, you know what I ask. If on your journey, I told him, you see a little pebble or something that calls to you for me, bring it to me. Now, I really expected nothing. I always say that without expecting anything. I expect nothing. Well, this past week was hard for me. It was the hardest in recent memory. Several hard and difficult things happened, but at the peak among them, a friend died. A friend so estranged from their family, from blood relatives, and so isolated from their own community, the community in which they lived. So isolated that myself and a friend from California were the only ones who stood in for her as her next of kin. I don't even know how something like that can happen. I came into the church office this week in the hallway door, the way I usually do. And I admit that I was looking mighty down, literally looking down. My eyes were downcast. I was watching my feet move. I was looking at nothing, nothing at all. I just didn't feel like looking up. And there in the far corner, in a place far out of the way of foot traffic, so out of the way that I easily could have missed it altogether, was a small, bright, white shell with a tiny little dot on it. Creation. Light out of night. Illumination out of the night. Sean had indeed left me something. Sometimes creation out of chaos does not look at all like we expect it to, like we hope it might, like we think it should. Sometimes it looks different and new, so much so that we might miss it and overlook it. Sometimes it even looks like this. Look for opportunities to create something. Something out of nothing, out of emptiness, out of nothingness, out of the darkness, out of death, out of those moments that make your stomach churn, out of your own discomfort, your own brooding ruminations, out of the moments that unsettle you, that anger you, the moments when you finally realize that the world you thought you knew is no longer here. The world you thought you knew is no longer here. The world you knew is gone. Do not try to get it back. Instead, make a new one. Make a new one. Amen. You are powerful. You are filled with the breath of creation. Make a new one. We come from chaos. We are born of it. We emerge from the darkness, warmth, and safety into a place of bright light and pain. We didn't even ask to come here. We reach for and we grab life in a moment of pain, in a moment of messy and unsettled space. That first breath, we, each of us here, had a first breath. Each of us. Rough and raspy. Coffee. Wasn't pretty and it wasn't neat. It was completely brand new to us. And it is life. And that awakening, like our very breath, happens over and over and over again in our lives. We move through it, and sometimes we dance to it, to the places where we may find our comfort and our peace, safe places, places where we know everything and we know everyone. And all is as it should be. And then something happens. We are ejected into places of turmoil and tension, places where things are uncomfortable and unsettled. Make something of it. Make something of it. The moments when you realize that the world you knew is no longer here, the world that you knew is gone, don't try to get it back. Make a new one. You are, after all, filled with the breath of creation. Make a new one. Make it so.